All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up on page 98. So actually, we learned this piece already, but I wanna pick up from here. Mesh, I know we're going back a little bit because Mesh is gonna give me most of it. We're starting on page 98, even though I know we got already to 100. But again, remember this is in Perek Hay. So Perek Hay, the title of this particular Perek is Beber Mafsidi Hazihirus. Remember, up until now, we've been speaking exclusively about the Midah of Zihirus. And again, we have yet to really define a true English term for it, but for our purposes, for our shir, so the Midah of Zihirus represents the Midah of the Midah of introspection, the Midah of thought, the Midah of really living life in a thoughtful way. As opposed to what the Ramchal essentially says is going through life on cruise control and not really just paying attention to things. Zihirus says, I live life recognizing what is the tov ha'amiti, what is the ultimate good, and therefore what do I need to do to get there? What's the ra ha'amiti, what's the ultimate evil that I'm trying to avoid? And in my life, everything is measured against that. In other words, let's say sometimes in life, we wonder, should I do this, shouldn't I do this? So remember, there's a very easy way to answer those questions. How? If I know what the ultimate good is that I'm working towards, I know what the tov ha'amiti is, so then if I'm faced with the opportunity to engage in a particular question, engage in a particular action, I ask myself a very simple question. Will this action get me closer to the tov ha'amiti, to the ultimate good towards which I'm striving, or will it bring me further? That's how I answer that life question. Now, obviously, I'm oversimplifying everything, because life often is not that easy, but at least on a conceptual level, when I know what the ultimate good is, when I set my poles, when I know what the tova amiti and the ra amiti is, I then know ultimately how to navigate between them. So now, in this particular parak, we're discussing about what are the things that prevent me from actualizing this midah of zihirus and from becoming a thoughtful, introspective person. So the Ramchal mentioned three things. The first one, which is what we're focusing on, is Hatipul v'hatirda ha'olamis, page 98. Preoccupation, and over-involvement in the material world. Okay, so what does this mean? You understand, we've been learning Siyas Yisharim now for a very long time. And one of the beautiful things that we've seen about this Sefer is that it's a very real-world Musar Sefer. In other words, so you'll say to yourself, everybody gets a little bit nervous, and the Ramchal says the first thing that detracts from the Midah of Zihirus is too much involvement in the material world. So everybody gets nervous when they read this, because what do you think the Ramchal is going to say? Right? You have to spend your life in the Beis Medrash. Now that's very nice if you can do that, but for most of us that's not so shat, but that's not the Eitzah that the Ramchal is going to give. Take a look. He says, Havi Mema'id Be'isek Va'asik B'Tora. So Lachina Chacham Or Masechah Savas. Havi Mema'id Be'isek Va'asik B'Divrei Torah. So remember, the Mishnah Perkei Avos says that a person should, good morning, that a person should diminish their involvement in Esek. Esek is business. Va'asuk B'Divrei Torah. And a person should involve themselves in the words of Torah. So he says, Ma'ze Mema'id Be'isek. Baruch Fishel, do you have an extra, this version of Masilas Yisharim in back? I have more. I'm going to bring more from the Shul Amir Teshin tomorrow. So what does it mean when it says that a person should diminish their Esek, a person should diminish ultimately their involvement in business and involve themselves in Torah? Ma'ze Mema'id Be'esek. What does it mean ultimately, again, that a person has to diminish their business dealings? What does that mean? He says, "Mema'id be'ezek zelo inyan shel zman." So Rav Kashtiel says, diminishing my business dealings is not a din in time. El inyan shel machshava. Rather, again, it's a din in thought. And he says, "Having mema'id kilomar ifo harosh shel chon nimtza." So this is actually quite profound. So Rav Kashtiel says the following. So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Havi Mema'id Be'esek, so which we normally take to mean, spend less time on your business, or spend less time in the office, and spend more time learning Torah. So I'll ask you, so what happens if it's not Shayach? So a person has a very demanding career. By definition, I have to spend more time in the office than I have in the Beis Medrash. So what do I do under those circumstances? Says Rav Kashtiel, here's the beauty. Chazal are not giving me a quantitative mandate, but rather they're giving me a qualitative mandate. Having mema'it be'esek means the problem we have sometimes, and this is what the Ramchal is referring to, is my head is all the time in my business. My head is all the time in work. What Chazal are saying is, having mema'it be'esek means your mind space. Where is your mind occupied most of the time? Where does my mind spend the majority of its time? Having mema'it be'esek means, this is inyan shel machshava. Rather, it's a din in thought. Having mema'it kelomar ifa harosh shelcha nimsa. Where is my head to be found most of the time? B'ma harosh lecha asu kol hazman. What is my head? What is my head focused on most of the time? Yesh lecha netiyah chazaka l'shtamish b'rosh shelcha l'kidum hato'elas ha'pratit. Often, most times, our head is focused on how do I advance myself as an individual. Taktim kitzas tonight. Diminish a little bit. Take away a little bit. I want to say, this is a profound yisod. First of all, it's an incredible chiddush. Because what Kashtil is saying is, Heve memait be'isek va'asik be'divrei Torah is not a quantitative statement, but rather a qualitative statement. Make sure my head is not always in the office. Make sure my head is not always at work. There has to be a time, as I will see a significant amount of time throughout the day, where my head is thinking about things other than money. Now, let's be clear on something. Making money is exceptionally important. Providing a parnasa is exceptionally important. Giving tzedakah is exceptionally important. We're not diminishing the importance of these things. What we're just saying is, if my mind is always in the office, then there's no time for anything else. You know, both say, this is important to so. A person will say, well, my mind's not always in the office, because at the end of the day, look, I'm in shir, I'm kaveh eating the Torah. We'll say, oh, thank you, Baruch Hashem. You know, we'll say, at the end of the day, your body could be in the Beis Medrash, but your mind is somewhere totally different. You know, so this is important. So the Maharal brings this down just very quickly. The Maharal says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and created Gan Eden, so the Torah says, Vayikach Hashem as Ha'adam, Vayinichenu b'Gan Eden. God took Adam, he took Adam, and he placed him ultimately in Gan Eden. So Rashi HaKadosh says, what does it mean, Vayikach, that Hashem took Adam? What does it mean? Kacheu b'dvarim. He took him with words. So the mouse says, what does that mean? So Rashi says, what? What does that mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Adam, listen, there's this place, it's called Gan Eden, it's really great, it's really incredible, you should go there, you should live there. So it says, not all Sipshat. First of all, two questions. Why does Rashi assume that Vayikach means that God took Adam with words? In other words, if I was a commentary on Chumash and Torah told me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Adam, what would I have assumed? What would you assume it meant? Pick him up, put him down. Right? Furthermore, why does Adam HaRishon have to be convinced to go to Gan Eden? So says the Maharal, something so we all know this to be true. You know, there are times in life where you have to do something. And if you have to do something, your body is there, but your soul is not. Your soul is pashas. So we all have things like this. There are things we have to do in life, so we go through the motions, but the truth is, my mind, my heart, my soul, somewhere dramatically different. The Ribono Shel Olam wants Adam HaRishon to be body and soul in Gan Eden. And in order for that to happen, what does he need? Well, it's incredible, so what does he need? Buy-in. He needs Adam HaRishon buy-in. Because Adam's going to live in Gan Eden. Because look, if God tells you to live in Gan Eden, you're going to live there. But he doesn't just want him to live in Gan Eden. He wants him to experience Gan Eden. That requires buy-in. But let's say, same Yisod, by the way, if you remember, the Torah uses the same lashon by Aaron. By Aaron. Ari, just in time. Speaking at the Kohen Gadol. Mamish, see? What timing? So what happens? So remember again. So what happens by Aaron? Torah says, "Kaches Aaron." Kach Shkwara tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Take Aaron, and make him the Kohen Gadol." Rashi says, "Same lashon there. Kachenu b'dvarim, take him with words." Maral, same thing. Why? Because is Aaron going to become Kohen Gadol? Sure. Because if God says you're the Kohen Gadol, guess what? You're the Kohen Gadol. But Kadosh Baruch Hu wants him to be vested. So we'll say this is very important. A person could learn 5 hours a day, but their mind may be in the office every single moment of that 5 hours. What Ramchal is saying over here is that there has to be a space that's carved out where it's just me and my neshama, where I'm not having ma'it be'esek, where I'm not thinking about my business, I'm not thinking about the responsibilities I have, I'm not thinking about the meetings lined up for the day, I'm not thinking about this deal or that deal or this bill or that bill. Plus, it's very hard. It's very hard because the truth is, we all know, to show up to shir, that's easy. That's easy. First of all, there's coffee, right? So that's right. So that's there's no Yetzirah not to come. That's easy. The shaila is when I'm here. So where's my mind? Where at the end of the day, when I'm in the Beis Medrash, so where is my head? Said Zayin Chal, that's the Yisod. This is the problem, by the way. Therefore, the Ramchal says the first attribute, the first piece, or the first mafsid that keeps us from actualizing the midah of Zahirus is this tipul. And tear to Olam. You know the difficult part of Parnasa? We'll say, what's the difficult part of Parnasa? Is that it's all consuming. Is that I could go through life thinking about nothing other than my Parnasa. And by the way, we also know, here's the incredible part, is the more successful you are, sometimes the more this is true. You know, people think that the only people who are constantly, perpetually preoccupied with Parnasa is the Oni, someone who's struggling. Often it's not true. Often, Baruch Hashem, it's the more successful you are, and the more abilities, the more opportunities you have, the more all-consuming it becomes to every single moment. Therefore, again, Avodah number one, says Ramchal, is having Mema'it Be'isek. There has to be a time when I'm not thinking about business. There has to be a time where my mind is cleared and it's just thinking about my ruchnius, just thinking about the Tov HaMiti. Let's go on. He says, second paragraph, page 98, third paragraph. Ta'asik es ha-moach shalcha, es ha-machshava shalcha, es ha-kisharon shalcha, la-havin u-la-haskil la-chshov, v'lo la-harviach klum. So there has to be a certain amount of time where I devote my mind and I devote my thought processes and I devote my kohos to understanding, to thinking, and nothing to do with profit. Nothing to do with profit. He says, "Ata lo marviach asakim, lo marviach ma'amad." There has to be a little bit of time where ultimately, again, I'm not dedicating or devoting myself to sealing any kind of deal, making any kind of profit. Lo yotze shum davar klum. Bosa, this is going to sound strange a little bit. I have to sometimes devote myself to processes that aren't going to yield any immediate, tangible, quantifiable results. Lomate, watch this. Ma'ata lomate. Eschukia ames hatzadek v'amusar lakim. Zer elevanti. Mamishlo. Ata holich lios dayan. V'chayimu. Both say, listen to this. Listen to this. So the Ramchal says, we're just going to spend 2 more minutes on this. The Ramchal says, we can apply this very beautifully now. Mirzim, in just a few moments, we're going to begin the daf. Right? So what have we been learning over the last couple of days? So the truth is, we all know, it hasn't exactly been like the easiest, you know, Ben Azman and Gemaras over here. The truth is, they've been very intricate sugyas. So, you know, we're learning about, again, I go ahead and I'm Mekadesh 5 women with a basket of dates from someone's field that's owned by the Shemitah, and who am I married to, who am I not married to, and if the guy dies, then he leaves, 17 surviving brothers, who has to do Yibam, who has to do Chalitza, and this is what we apply ourselves to. So we'll say, so ask Rabbi Kashtiel, tell me, is it L'maisa? I mean, if it's L'maisa, you're in big trouble, right? But is it L'maisa? Like, I finished the Blatt Gemara, do I say, what a gishmak, you know, this is great. I walked away with something better. Is it halacha L'maisa? Absolutely not. Is it relevant? B'pash, just not at all. Mishtalim L'cha? Do you get anything from it? Klum. Absolutely nothing. So, we'll say, so again, if that's true, so then what's the pshat? Look at the next paragraph. Hamoach mitragel l'uvda shu yakol tzarech la'asok b'tchum nosaf. So we'll say, you know what it does do? When I learn these type of sugyas, it conditions my mind to recognize that there must be more. That there's something more in life than my business. There's something more in life than what I do between the hours of 8 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock at night. Ulam tchum ha'ikari ma'u atzadek. This is amazing. And this is so applicable when we learn sugyas that often we feel are not so l'maisa. So when you learn that sugya of a man being mekadesh, a group of 5 women with dates, with shemitah dates, and you say to yourself, my gosh, for this I woke up in the morning. Right? So what's the pshat? What is the take-home message? The take-home message is, what is the Gemara trying to do? The Gemara is trying to figure out, ma'u atzadek. What is justice? What is correct in this world? He says, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotze mimcha. What does the Ribono Shel Olam want from me? When we go ahead and we learn these sugyas, that sometimes you feel not so lamaisa, the bottom line take-home message is that there's a system of justice in this world. There's right and there's wrong. There's tova amiti. There's an ultimate good towards which we must all be working. Matzodek, malatzodek. They both say, this is very important to Sod. Everyone likes to say, there's so much gray in the world. Both say, there's no gray. That's the real truth. There's black and there's white. There's right and there's wrong. And everything we do in life fits into one of those two categories. We like to delude ourselves a little bit to thinking that, you know, the most common refrain is, it's not so pashut. Both say, it's very pashut. Everything in life is very pashut. If you know what your tov ha'amiti is, if I know what the ultimate good that I'm aspiring towards is, then at the end of the day, it's very clear which actions are going to get me there and which actions won't. It's not so pashut because I don't want it to be so pashut. Because often the answers that I get when I begin to look at life through that lens of that metric of the tov ha'amiti and ra'amiti often yields results that I don't like and requires lifestyle accommodations that I'm not all that crazy about. But lamaisa, at the end of the day, it's pashut. There's tzedek and there's not tzedek. There's right and there's wrong. And that's what we learn from these sugyas. Let's just finish this off. He says, Hudan besugyos abayi v'rava v'yesh vikuach. So again, the sugya of abayi and rava, the abayi and rava machlokes, amayim isvakhu. What are abayi and rava arguing about? The most esoteric of sugyas, ma kodesh baruch hu rotze. What does the Ribono Shel Olam want? Ma tov u'mara, zechoshuv ma'od, shava azel isvakeach yom sholni bebeis hamedrash. Ama, ala matara b'chaim, al derach sh'al olam ha'arachim, mayose arachim ima. So both at the end of the day, when we go ahead and we learn these sugyas of Gemara that sometimes are not as lemaisa, the lemaisa piece that comes from it is the Gemara struggling to figure out what is right, what is wrong. And the truth is, that struggle is a metaphor for life. Because life is one big struggle of what is right, what is wrong. What is my tov ha'amiti? What is my ra ha'amiti? What am I working towards? What is it that I have to get towards? And what actions are going to get me there? But the only way I appreciate that dynamic from my learning is how? Is if I'm the ma'it be'esek. If at least when I'm learning, both sides, and this is true that I'm learning for 5 minutes a day or 45 minutes a day or 2 hours a day, to try to clear my mind, to try to clear my head. It's not enough for my body to be in the basement and my head to be in the office, but I need to make sure that when I have those opportunities to really refocus and recalibrate my spiritual sensitivities, that my mind is where my body is as well. All right, the most I'll stop over here for today. I'll pick up Emir Teshem with this tomorrow.